You just clicked into the Get Your Money Right podcast. It's the podcast where not only do we want you to get your money, we want you to get your money right. This is episode number 8, where we talk all about investing like you've never heard before. Let's get it. What's the good news, people? Welcome to the Get Your Money Right podcast. I am your host, the Money Misfit, Jamar Dupas. And this is the podcast where we talk about money like it's everybody's business, because I truly believe we're not good with money because we don't talk about money. And today, we're going to do just that. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about the juicy part, the nice part, the part that everybody wants to talk about. Today, we're going to talk about investing. And we're going to talk about investing in maybe in a different way, maybe in a way you've never heard it talked about before. We're going to give you some things to think about. It may change the way you think about investing. It may change the questions you ask your stockbroker or your financial advisor. So today's going to be a real good show. And if this is your first time tuning in and hearing this, this is a little bit different of a personal finance podcast, right? We talk about it from a real life perspective, where we question the advice that we've received from big banks and broke people our entire lives. We're those 20 and 30 something year olds that are starting off life with young families, young marriages, and young careers. But we still have ambitions, and there's something that we don't quite feel right about what other people have been telling us that we need to do. We have been doing what they have told us to do for so long, and we look up and we don't have the results that we think we're supposed to have. Some of the people will call us entitled, and that's fine. But the truth is, we want more out of life. And we won't settle for anything less. So that's what this podcast is all about. We're a fairly new podcast. This is episode number 8, which seems like we just got started yesterday, but at the same time, so long ago. I'm having a good time. It's a lot of fun talking about this topic. And I think we're going to help a bunch of people just opening up the dialogue. I don't have all the answers, but I'm always learning and I'm always willing to learn from other people. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you like what you hear today, consider leaving us a rating and review, subscribing to the show on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher because a lot of people have been asking me about that. But iTunes is our major platform. So please consider doing that. Guys, we're moving up in the new and noteworthy. So let's keep going. Let's finish this month real strong. Let's get those rating and reviews out there. Keep sharing it. This thing is growing much faster than I thought it would, and it's really blessed my heart. So with that being said, what I want to do is kind of give a shout out to a few of the reviewers and read a couple of reviews before we get to talking about this topic of investing. And the first one is from DirectFlow21. His review states, "This is right on time and so on point with certain financial topics that may be uncomfortable for most people to discuss, but are so necessary. Thank you for doing this. Much appreciated, my good sir." Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. DirectFlow21, for leaving that rating and review. I read all these guys, and it just really helps me to get motivated and keep going. And one more review from Aunt Marsha. It just says, "Love, love, love it." She gave it a 5-star rating. Says, "Thank you, Jamar, for taking time out of your life to make this podcast. Great tips and delivery is very personable, very relatable." So thank you so much, Aunt Marsha. That, again, that really blesses me to hear these words. And again, it's the reason why I just keep doing it. And as long as we keep helping people and we keep talking about it, I think we're going to be all right. We'll keep moving this train right along. So with that being said, let's get into it. Let's talk investing. And when we talk about investing, a couple of things I want to touch on today is what investing is, right? And what it's not. And what should you be investing for, right? Because that's That's my big deal. If you've been listening to the past few episodes, when we talked about the roadmap to getting your money right, investing is kind of the last step in the roadmap, so to speak. But it's one of those things that never end, right? Just like really the roadmap never ends. Managing your money and handling your money never ends as long as we got money around us. Even if you hire somebody else to do it for you someday, right? It never really ends. But investing is fun, right? Because investing covers so many areas of our lives, from putting the food in your mouth, it could be investing, putting the good food in your mouth can be investing, or throwing some money in the stock market could be investing. So that's what we're going to talk about, what investing is, what it's not, and what do you want to be investing for? What's the purpose, right? You guys hear me say this purpose thing a lot. What's the purpose? So let's talk about what investing is. First and foremost, investing is a plan. Investing is a game plan, kind of like your financial strategy, kind of like your financial plan, right? Investing is all about your plan, and a good investing plan works whether you work or you don't, right? Whether you are alive or dead, right? Whether the stock market goes up or down, investing is all based on your goals and where you want to get to. And some of you might be questioning, like, how is investing going to work if I'm dead, right? Well, think about leaving a legacy, right? If part of leaving a legacy, if leaving a legacy is part of your plan, then that is investing. It's something we need to be thinking about, right? Investing is not taking money and putting it into a stock market, right? That's not investing per se. It is a tool for you to use while investing. But just because you take money and you throw it in a stock market, in some mutual fund, doesn't mean it's investing, right? It's more the lines of gambling, to be honest with you. Because what's in that mutual fund? Who's running the mutual fund? How much are they charging you to invest, so to speak, your money in this mutual fund, right? We really don't know. Even in our 401ks, right, at work, and these retirement plans that they give us at work, they give us a couple different plans to choose from. And it's all good marketing because they'll name these things like the Great American Eagle Plan or the, you know, the Continental American Pride Plan or something like that. And then they'll give you like these different areas based on your risk, right? So they'll say this is a conservative plan, this is the aggressive plan, or whatnot. Then they have these target date funds, right? It's like, well, if you plan on retiring at 2050, what we're going to do is automatically invest your money to where it will optimize for you in 2050. So when you're ready to go or ready to retire, that this plan will be there, the money will be there for you. But again, we have no idea what that means. What are they doing with that money every month? And how are they making money, right? That's something to think about. So just because you put your money in a stock market does not mean that you are, quote unquote, investing. If you don't know what you're doing with your money, you're not investing. If you don't have any control over it, you're not investing. You're gambling. Okay? And I really want everybody to understand that, that just because you take money and you throw it somewhere that supposedly is going to give you a return on something does not necessarily mean that you are investing. You're probably gambling. And I have a real simple rule of thumb. So people ask a lot, how do I determine what I should invest in? Especially when you're talking about investing in other businesses and other vehicles like that. And my basic rule of thumb is this. However long it took you to make that money you plan on investing, you should at least take that amount of time to study what you're getting ready to invest in, to know and learn where what your money is going to be doing for it to grow, right? You may be investing in some company that, you know, is like the backbone of the Taliban or something, right? Maybe it's a company that's a forefront of ISIS. You don't know, but because you're just throwing your money in a mutual fund. I met a guy like that one time back in 9/11 when those planes hit the towers. There was a lot of turmoil in the market, and he wanted to find out what was going on with his investing account, with his mutual fund. So he called up the mutual fund company, and he wanted to ask the mutual fund company what companies was he investing in this mutual fund, right? Because if you don't know, a mutual fund is basically they take a pool of money and they fund other companies. So they take the money and they invest it in several different companies. And what they want to try to do is they have this thing called diversify, right? They'll tell you that they're diversifying your money by investing your money in all these different businesses. So let's say, for instance, if they invest in 100 different businesses, if 10 of the businesses go out of business, you still have the other 90 that are in business, so you don't lose all your money. That's the basic theory of basically what a mutual fund is. So you got all these different companies in this one fund, and they take your money and they spread it out over all these different companies. And the companies use this money to try to go make more money, go make more profits. They'll hire people and all that good stuff, right? But anyway, back to the story. So he called up his mutual fund company, and he wanted to get a detailed prospectus about what companies he was invested in. Well, initially, they couldn't tell him because they said, well, you know, we make trades and we move your money several times throughout the day. So it's really kind of hard to tell what companies your money is invested in, right? That's one way they even make money off, because they charge you per transaction. But that's a whole nother conversation. So he goes on and he goes in search, and finally he gets to somebody that can at least give him a snapshot of what companies he was invested in. Now, mind you, this is right after 9/11. And one of the companies that he discovered he was invested in was the Bin Laden Group, right? Now, this is the same Bin Laden family from the Osama Bin Laden, who was supposedly responsible for flying these planes into these buildings, right? So here's this man, an American, he's a patriot, and he finds out that his money is being used to invest in the Bin Laden family. Of course, he was sick to his stomach. He pulled all his money out immediately. And the moral of the story is, you just don't know until you know. So take some time to discover what your money is doing. That's all I'm saying about that, right? So investing is a plan. Investing is not just taking your money and throwing it somewhere and watching it grow, right? And I also want you to think about investing as investing to scale, so to speak, right? Investing based on where you are in life. So everybody thinks it's hot and sexy to be in the stock market or to invest in real estate. All those are very good vehicles for creating wealth or preserving wealth, so to speak. But you may not be there yet, right? As we talked about in the roadmap to getting your money right, if you don't have money set aside to catch those hard parts in life, right? When the tire goes out, or when the car breaks down, or when you have a medical expense that comes up, you may not want to be in the stock market right away, because you haven't protected yourself from regular life yet, right? So here you are trying to run before you crawl. And this is the lesson that I had to learn. I've learned it a million gazillion times. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to start businesses, invest in this deal, jump into this opportunity before I was ready. And each time I'd either run out of money, or I didn't have any money, so when something were to happen to me, I fell flat on my butt. And if your business or your opportunity is not making money at that time, then what do? Your business runs dry and you got to shut it down, right? Or you get desperate and you do something silly. You take all your money out of the stock market because it crashed, so to speak, right? But you were so afraid, and because you didn't do your homework, you have no idea what stock market crashing means. But you see all in the news that the stock market is crashing, so you panic and you go and you take all your money out when you probably should have been buying it, since the stock market is on sale at that time. I hope that makes sense. So you want to think about investing for based on where you are in life. If you're still living paycheck to paycheck, remember we talked about on the roadmap, the very next thing you might want to be investing in is how to get out of the paycheck to paycheck rut, right? It's to get yourself a month ahead of your bills. So then you can have some breathing room, so you can have some space in your head to think and to move forward. Another type of investing is your education, going to school. We all went to school. This was a type of investing in our future so we could get the basic education for us to start working, right? So say, for instance, you do have a job today, or maybe if you don't have a job, you need to start investing in skills to get jobs that'll pay you the income that you're looking to make, right? If you do have a job and your job is not making enough money, your investment move may be to figure out how you can move up in that job or figure out how you can change careers. That may cause you it may be necessary for you to take some of your money, put it to the side so you can get a better education, right? Or get you more detailed education. Now, I'm not a big fan of traditional education, right? Those of you who know me, no, I went to an amazing school, Prairie View. What's up, my PV family, right? But I'm also a college dropout. And I dropped out because I felt like it wasn't what I needed anymore, right? So back then, this was a few years ago, that was blasphemy, right? Because everybody needs a college degree. But people are realizing today the real value of that college degree, or the devaluing of that college degree. Now, not all college degrees are created equal, right? If you're going into a profession, you're going to medical school, you're going to be a lawyer, doctor, technician, engineer, these things have clearly defined tracks. Now, if you're getting a double master's and a PhD in history, then you might not want to be going to get another PhD if you can't seem to find a job with the current degrees that you have, right? It may be time to make another decision, right? Just get real with yourself, get real with your situation, and figure out where you need to go to next. But you want to invest based on where you are. Another example is, I talked about this in the past couple of episodes. One of the things that I'm investing now is in time for me to study for another promotional exam at my job, because that will put another $10,000 to $30,000, bring in another $10,000 to $30,000 in our household per year, while I'm going to work doing the same amount of time, doing the same things, not the same things, but have more responsibility. But I won't be working anymore, but I will have bigger returns, right? So that, to me, is worth my time investing in over the next several months while I'm studying and getting prepared for that deal. You may have the same situation or something similar, right? So think about investing based on your goals that we talked about in the roadmap, right? And there's three areas that I want you to focus on when you're thinking about investing. And one of the first areas you want to think about investing is protections, right? How do you protect yourself? How do you protect your income? How do you protect your life, right? So when you're thinking about protections, you want to think about health insurance, right? You want to think about homeowners insurance, car insurance. These are the things that help you when something catastrophic happens. The reason why we have health insurance is because if something were to happen to you, you need to be able to pay for it, right? If you can't pay for it with health insurance, you have to pay for it money out of pocket. And if you're only making so much money, say, for instance, you make $5,000 a month, but you just got a bill from the hospital for $100,000. Well, how are you going to pay for that, right? That's where health insurance comes in. Same thing with car insurance, right? The reason why we pay for car insurance, if our car gets totaled, we can get a new car. Instead of having to come up with another $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 or whatever it is you pay for your car, out of your pocket, you pay the insurance so that they will purchase it for you, right? So these are the things that you need to think about when you start thinking about investing. How do you protect yourself from losses? This is the part that's not sexy, right? Nobody wants to do this, but this is the very reason why you see people that hit the lottery, or these young cats, they'll get these large athletic contracts and they go broke, right? Because they don't think about how to protect what they do have already. That's an important part. One of the things I want to tell you guys, those of you who work, for a living, disability insurance, right? Again, I am not an insurance salesman. I don't make any commissions off of it. I don't really even know anybody who really sells insurance, right? But other than the people that I bought insurance from, but you are more likely to have to use your disability insurance than you would have to use your life insurance, right? And I know it sounds crazy because you're like, well, everybody's going to die, right? But not everybody gets like a whole life insurance. Usually people get these term life insurances where term life only pays out, I think, somewhere about 1% to 2% industry-wide, right? But disability insurance is something you need to think about. Why do you need to think about that? Because that protects your income. If you lose a limb, you lose a leg, or can't work for any reason, right? Disability will pay you an income that you've lost. Remember, your income is your most important wealth building tool. So don't sleep on that, right? So that's the first area, is protecting yourself so you're not fragile to life's occurrences, because things are going to happen in life. That's the way it goes, right? The next thing you want to focus on is savings, right? So a lot of people already kind of have this going. They call it your 401ks and things like that. 401ks is not necessarily a wealth building tool. It's more of a money preserving tool, right? You're not necessarily going to get rich on your 401k. That's why they only let you put so much in it every year, because they don't want you to get rich. But what they want you to do is kind of just keep up with inflation, right? Keep up and have a little bit money off to the side, so when you retire, that the government is not completely responsible for you in your retirement. That's basically what they want you to do, is to put money inside this 401k. One, it gives them money so they can play with and all this good stuff. But two, helps you get ready for those, your quote-unquote retirement ages, right? So savings is something that you want to think about anytime you're thinking about investing. So first is protections. Then it's savings. And savings also includes what I talked about before, is having that 3 to 6 months, or not even 3 to 6 months. I propose covering your deductibles, which can also be considered protections, but 6 to 12 months of cash on hand, or cash sitting well where you can get to it in case you lose your income, in case you lose a job or something like that, right? So that can also be considered protections, but that goes into savings. And then the next area I want you to think about is growth. And this is the wealth building aspect of it, right? These are the three areas that I think about: how to protect what I have, how to preserve what I have, and how to grow what I have, right? And you really got to think about that, right? Because savings alone won't save you, right? You got to have another game plan for growth, okay? Because savings, especially if you put it just in like a savings account, you can forget about it. That's not even saving. That's going backwards. I had decided, I was getting ready for this show, and I decided to look up some numbers of the cost of housing, right? So I was born in August of 1982. And I looked this up, and it's pretty fascinating. The average new home in August of 1982 was $80,000. It was $80,700. Right, the median price of all existing houses was $65,700. That's in August of 1982. Then I decided to look it up in August of 2015, which was last year, right? The average house, average new home, $348,800. Let me say that again. $348,800. And the median home that's sitting in the middle of existing houses, $300,200. That's a big difference from 1982 to 2015, right? That's what your 401k is for. That's what investing in a stock market, quote unquote, long term is for. It's to, for you to keep up with inflation. What's inflation? Technically, inflation is just the increase of the money supply that we have in the United States. So basically, if they need more money, they print more money. The more money they print, which they don't really print, but digitally increase inflow into the market, it creates inflation. When you see prices are just the result of inflation, right? So also back in 1982, a loaf of bread was only 50 cents, right? Rent, the average rent was $320. The price of gas was 91 cents. The average price of a new car was $7,983. That's not the average price of a new car today, is it? Right? You can't go get a new car for $7,000. well, not an average car, right? So the prices of things go up in life. That's just the way it happens. So those are the things you need to think about. Those are the areas that you need to think about when it comes to investing. That's protecting, saving or preserving, and then growing. That's really where the wealth building comes in. And to get to that point, you've got to educate yourself, right? There really is no other way around it. Nobody, unfortunately, is going to come knocking on your door and say, hey, I'm going to make you rich, right? If somebody comes knocking your door and say, hey, give me all your money, I'm going to make you rich, call the police, right? Because they're there to rob you, right? So, okay, now, here's the thing that I really want to get across. And this is the thing I rarely hear anybody talk about. And that's, what are you investing for? And there's three things that I think you should invest for that are crucial to our lives. And those three things are time, money, and clarity. And let me elaborate. When I say you want to invest for time, right? Think about this on a scale of throughout your entire life. So the first thing a lot of people do when they think about getting more money is they go get another job. The problem with working 2, 3, 4 jobs is you don't have any time. And time is your most precious commodity. It's your most precious asset, especially if you got family, right? Your children won't be children very long, right? So when you're investing, you want to think about how can you invest your dollars, your energy, and your mental power to gain more time for yourself, right? Those are the things you're investing for. The next thing you want to invest for is money or income. So a lot of people invest in value, right? So they'll buy this house and say, well, the value of my house have gone up $50,000. My question to you is, so what? What does that do for you? Because the real thing that we want is income, right? We want the money to come into our pockets. Just because the value has gone up on something doesn't even make that a good investment, right? Why? Because you still got to sell it, right? And the value is only a perceived value until somebody is willing to buy it, whether it's your car, whether it's your house. And a lot of people will put that stuff on the asset column, that your house is an asset and things like that. But we talked about it back in episode number one about that difference and how not understanding that can put you in a hole. Because the truth is, your home that you live in, that you bought, is not necessarily an asset. It's more of a liability. Until you sell that thing, it's costing you money, right? So don't let people think, especially if you're in an area where you're still working for income. One of the good friends came to me and he said he thought I should invest in land. And I said, well, for me, that's not a good deal, right? Because that's my personality. I don't want to invest in this particular plot of land. Why not? Well, number one, I'm still in the part of my life where I am working for money, parts of my life. The other part, what I'm working on, is how to decouple my time from money and earn an income. So with the money that I have that I bring in the house, I don't have time to invest in things that can just sit there and I hope it grow and then one day I get my money out of it. At this point in my investing career, my investing life, I'm only investing in things that's going to bring me income, right? I don't have time to wait for land values to appreciate over 20 years because I need my money now, right? Now, when I get to the point to where all my assets are paying for my lifestyle, where I'm financially independent or I'm financially free, at that point, for tax savings and things like that, I can start investing for value. I can start investing in things like land and things like that that doesn't necessarily give me money today, but will give me money, let's say, in the future or preserve my wealth, right? I'm just not in that position yet. So I think for the most of us, if you're listening to this podcast, investing in anything other than items that is going to give you cash flow, I think, I won't say it's a waste of your time, but I just want you to reevaluate that for a second. Because the whole purpose of you investing is so you can have income. If you want to be financially free, The only way to do that is to have enough income coming in that's paying for your expenses, right? Because you're still going to have expenses, but you can have all the plots of land in the world, right? And until you sell them, they don't give you any money. A lot of times it's going to cost you money because you got to pay taxes, you got to pay upkeep, and all that other type of stuff. And it's just costing you money year after year after year. If it's costing you money, it's not an asset, it's a liability. Simple rule, right? Just follow that simple rule. If it's bringing money into your house, it's an asset. If it's taking money out of your house, it's a liability. When we're talking about finances, right? I'm not talking about your children. Your children are beautiful assets. I know they're taking money out your pocket, right? But they're assets to you because God gave them to you. So I'm not talking about that. But anyway, so the other thing you want to start investing for is clarity, or clarity of thought, right? So what are the things, what places can you put your money to where it can give you more clarity? I kind of touched on this earlier, that if you're going to invest in something, right, with your money, take that time to study what it is so you can clearly see what your money is going to be doing, where your money is going to be going, right? You want to invest in time, income, and clarity of thought, because those three areas of your life will allow you to get the most fulfilled life. If you have plenty of time and plenty of money, you can sit back and you can plot and you can think about your next move. You can take that time and study whatever spiritual laws that you follow, right? One of the things that happened with us is when we first brought my wife home from her job to be home full time, we noticed that she had time to get into the good book. And when I tell you her spiritual growth was off the chain, it was off the chain, right? Why? Because we took her away from working for somebody else for however many hours a week to now she can take that time and work on herself, right? Work on her spiritual growth. Think about what she wants to do. Think about her best life. See, that's the power of having time and money, because it can give you that opportunity to get that real clarity of thought. And there is so much power in clarity, because when things are foggy, you can't accelerate like you want to. And you know what I'm talking about, right? When life is just running full speed ahead, you can't even take the time to take a deep breath, let alone think about what you're going to do next month, next year, next 5 years, right? And I don't care what type of vehicle that you're in. A mentor of mine used to talk about this, about how you can know where you are, you can know where you're going, and even have the roadmap to get there, and you can even be in a Ferrari, right? But once you get it in there, you crank it up, and you get ready to smash the gas, if it's foggy outside, you can't go very fast, right? I don't care what type of vehicle you are. I don't care how light the traffic is. I don't care if you know exactly where you're going, right? If there's fog, you have to slow down. You have to creep. You can't go as fast as you want to go. And that's our challenge as working people. We got to get to the point to where we've stopped trading our time for money, to where our money is making money for us, where we can really sit back and get some clarity of thought and do the things that are most important to us. And those are the three things I think are the most important things to invest for, because I think those are your biggest assets that allow you to do the things that really matter to us most. And when I look at investing opportunities, if it doesn't free up my time, if it doesn't produce more income, or if it doesn't give me more clarity, I don't invest in them. Period. Dot. The end. There really is no ifs, ands, or buts about it when it comes to me. So, hope that makes sense, right? Hope that was helpful. Let's recap. What is investing? Investing is a game plan. And it should work whether you're dead or alive, whether the stock market is up or down, right? That's a good, solid investing game plan, because those are the things you need to think about. And there's three areas you want to think about when you come into your investing. There's the protections, right? This is so that you're not fragile, right? So that whole concept of anti-fragility. And these are your insurances, your health insurance, your homeowner's insurance, your life insurance. If you don't have life insurance, then you get life insurance, right? Disability insurance. These are the things that help you protect yourself and your family in case there is an interruption in the income that's coming into the house, basically, is what I'm trying to get at with that. And then from protections, you got your savings. And this is the things that preserve. So part of your savings is a protection, right? If you got a month ahead and you've cut the paycheck to paycheck cycle, right? That's kind of protecting you from these ebbs and flows of life when things don't go so right. But then you want to get to the point to where you are at least 6 to 12 months put aside in cash. So again, if you were to lose an income for some unforeseen reason, or maybe you decide you need to quit that job and you want to take some time off to do something else. And then once you have those protections and those savings in place, then you want to focus on your growth. You always want to be focusing on your growth from a personal development perspective, right? Because your income will follow your personal development, basically. So you always want to think about that. But when I talk about growth, I'm talking about like real wealth building. Just really building that wealth up from a financial perspective. So you get your protections, you get your savings, and you get your growth. And you always want to be thinking about these things on scale to based on where you are, right? If your income is not enough to even start thinking about health insurance, or you got Obamacare now, so no excuses, get that health insurance. But if you're thinking about your income is not enough to start putting these foundational things in place, maybe you need to start thinking about how to invest your money and your time to increasing your skills so you can get your income up. Because a lot of times it's not necessarily that we are bad with our money, we just don't make enough money, right? So if you're only making $2,000 a month and you're trying to raise a family, you need to think about how to get to 4,000, right? How to get to 5, then to 10, and then to 20, and you keep going from there. That's something you should always be thinking about, always keep in the forefront of your mind, right? So those are the three areas. And then the three things you want to invest for, which kind of goes along to what I was just talking about, is time, income, and clarity, right? So you need time. Just because you make more money, if you make more money and it's costing you more time, that may not be a good deal, right? Because if you got to work 120 hours a week, but you're missing your kid's t-ball game, how valuable is that, right? If you're continuously running on fumes and coffee and Red Bulls, think about your health, right? You can sit there and you can make all the money you want, but you know, living that lifestyle that way, you're going to end up spending all the money that you do make trying to get your health back. It's not valuable. It's not worth it, right? So think about those things together holistically, because this is what this is really about. It's not just about money. It's about our lives. It's about what we really want to do. That's why it's important to invest in income. So a lot of people will tell you, if you go to a lot of these brokers places, they'll be like, what's your retirement number, right? I'm like, well, I want to save up $1.5 million. I want to save $3.5 million. I want to save $5 million or $10 million. Those numbers don't mean nothing. The only thing that really matters is the income that money's going to toss off to you. And if you don't know what the tax rates are going to be then, you don't know what the stock market is going to be doing then, as far as I'm concerned, you're gambling, right? Especially if you don't really understand the game. If you understand it and you know what it really is and you still decide to go down that route, I'm all fine with it, right? Go ahead, do your thing. But just know what you're getting yourself into. So again, investing is a game plan, three areas, protections, savings, growth, and three things to invest for: time, income, and clarity of thought. I think if we do those things, we're going to be all right, right? Right. Good. So that wraps it up. Hope that was super useful as always. Again, if so, let me know. Leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any shows. If you're not subscribed, you won't catch them as they're coming in. So make sure you hit that subscribe button, then leave a rating and review. Let us know how you really think, what's going on. And if you have any questions, any particular questions about your particular situations, anything that you're thinking about, feel free to reach out. We do have a new Facebook page now, so you can send a message on Facebook, or you can even hit us up at the website at yourmoneyright.com. There's a contact deal there. My email is there. I'm an open book. I am available. I really am here to help, and I want to see lives changed. And I really appreciate you listening in, lending me your ear, sharing this with your friends. It's been super valuable, super helpful for me, and just an amazing blessing. And again, I hope you got something out of this show today, because I truly believe we're not good with money because we don't talk about money. And I hope today we got a little bit smarter about our money. Thank you again so much for listening. Talk to you next time. God bless.
NPS. NPS.
We talking about money, 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 cash, cash, cash.